I had an interesting conversation over a messaging, so it was a text conversation, with someone who is hopefully going to help us with some tiling on our front step. Our front step has got tiles on it, and they're old and broken. And it doesn't look very nice, and it's a little unsafe. So we need to get them fixed, but we've been trying for about 4 months now to find somebody who can help us fix them. And I keep thinking, well, if I had a couple of days, I could probably do it myself. But it's like, it's hard to find a couple of days to do that, for one thing. And I am no expert. So I had a conversation with someone recommended by a friend, and at one point he apologized because his response came to me in Spanish instead of English. And I said, my first reaction was question mark. But then I realized, well, it's not hard for me to figure out what he's saying. Because I have become very good at using the Translate app on my phone. My recent trip to Japan, I was using it every day a lot to try and remember words, to translate messages, and to mostly to be able to send messages back to my friends in Japanese. So I quickly translated it. I understood exactly what he was saying. And of course, he quickly responded and said, oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes I need to use digital apps to help me. And I said, no problem at all. I understand completely. I wanted to make a good impression on him, and he wanted to make a good impression on me. Because we really need someone to help us. And he wants the job. Sometimes those kinds of communications between strangers don't go very well. Sometimes we don't appreciate the challenges that people face. Sometimes we don't treat workers well if they don't meet our expectations. This weekend is an opportunity for us to think about and to give thanks for all the work that goes on around us and in our own lives, and for all of us who are workers, which is all of us, even if you're retired. In fact, retired people are some of the busiest people I know. But it's a chance for us to take some rest from our labor, from our work. Between our media and all the telecommunications, we hear about Labor Day. Well, what do we hear? Labor Day sales? Has anybody caught wind of a Labor Day sale? Labor Day traffic? Not too bad, eh? Some places deal with Labor Day hurricanes. Or, in the case of my friends in Japan, typhoons. We're told that summer is officially over this weekend. Well, it's not really, but for many of us, it kind of marks the end of the summer season. We have to get back to life as usual. Students are told to get those new clothes and get stuff ready to go back to school. Of course, teachers and staff. And parents are breathing a sigh of relief once they get through this week. We're reminded, or we will be reminded, I'm sure, on Tuesday to drive more cautiously as more children will be on the streets during the early morning commutes. We're told a lot of different things around Labor Day and this weekend. But one thing that tends to be missing a lot of the time as we hear these messages about Labor Day is that we rarely actually talk about labor, work. We rarely stop for a moment to think about each other as laborers, as workers, workers in the vineyard. In most cases, not a literal vineyard, but figurative vineyards who deserve to be recognized for our work. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I turned to a neighbor or someone else that I was with and said, "Thank you for the work you do. I trust that you are doing your best to make the world a better place," or something that communicates that. When's the last time any of us said to a worker, "Today we celebrate you"? There is a great practice in these parts. I think it happens in lots of places in Canada. If you ride the bus, most people that get off the bus, do you know what they do? They often say, "Thank you." It's so simple, but I know it's appreciated. I have a couple of friends who are bus drivers. They appreciate that. And they appreciate it even more if people show their gratitude by being understanding and cooperative when things go wrong. That means even more than just saying thank you. There are workers all around us, some who get paid, some who do not. Many who do not. Grandparents get paid in hugs and kisses, hopefully. Not always. As a cat owner, I can tell you I get paid very infrequently in affection. Our cat's very selective about the times that she decides to be affectionate. Usually it's around feeding time. But much of our labor does not get recognized or appreciated or properly compensated, however that may happen. We have a history in the Christian church also of actions that hurt more than they help. Hopefully the intentions were good, not always, but we know that we were part of the harm of colonization and assimilation, of residential schools and cultural genocide, certainly here in Canada and in many other places in the world. On more individual levels, we can harm people without realizing it. And often we might say, "But our intentions were good." Well, we know the saying about that, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. But our intentions do matter. What's in our heart does matter. Jesus says that. It's not enough. We need to do right. We need to do good. But what's in our heart really does matter. In our reading today from the Gospel of Mark, we hear Jesus repudiating the religious rules and practices that take the place of thought and actions that come from the heart, from within. The disciples were being criticized for not going through the full ritual purification before they ate. Well, they were on the road. They were traveling. They were moving about. And it would have been difficult to do all that those established religious practices would have required. The religious leaders were concerned about the disciples breaking the rules of ritual purity, but Jesus says the purity of our hearts matter more to God than the purity of our rituals. The intentions of our hearts and our actions toward others that flow from that matter more than our religious practices. I'm not saying it doesn't matter that you come to church. I think it does. I'm not saying it doesn't matter that you, whether you pray or read scripture or engage in meditation and other practices that draw us closer to God. Those are important, but they are not more important than what is in your heart and how we treat each other and others in our society. I read a story recently that some of you may have heard before. It's been around a while, but it was new to me. It's by a writer named Kent Nerburn. This is what he says. There was a time in my life 20 years ago when I was driving cab for a living. One night, I was responding to a call from a small brick fourplex in a quiet part of town. I assumed I was being sent to pick up some partiers or perhaps someone going off to an early shift at a factory before the bus was running. When I arrived at the address, the building was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many drivers would just honk once or twice, wait a couple of minutes, and then drive away. But that's not how I was raised. So when I honked and there was no response, I walked to the door and knocked. "Just a minute," answered a frail, elderly voice. A small, frail, elderly woman stood before me when the door opened. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like you might see in a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. "Could you carry my bag out to the car?" she said. I took the suitcase to the cab, and I offered her my arm as we walked slowly toward the cab. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat passengers the way I would want my mother treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got in the cab, she gave me an address, then asked, "Could you drive through downtown?" "It's not the shortest way," I answered. "Oh, I don't mind," she said. "I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. "I don't have any family left," she continued. "The doctor says I should go there. He says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to go?" I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they had first been married. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she would have me slow down in front of a particular building or a corner and would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she finally said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." And we drove to the address she had given me. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They opened the door and began assisting the woman. I opened the trunk and took out the small suitcase, and the woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked, reaching into her purse. "Nothing," I said. "You have to make a living," she answered. "There are other passengers," I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent down and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy," she said. "Thank you." There was nothing more to say. I squeezed her hand once, then walked out into the dim morning light. Behind me, I could hear the door shut. To me, it was the sound of the closing of a life. I did not pick up any more passengers that shift. I kept thinking, what if I had been impatient to end my shift? What if I had been in a foul mood and had refused to engage this woman in conversation? How many other moments like that had I missed or failed to grasp? We are so conditioned to think that our lives revolve around big moments, but great moments often catch us unawares. I do not think that I have ever done anything in my life that was any more important than that cab ride that night. Friends, there is so much that we can do each day that has the potential to become sacred work. And it's often not things that we think of as particularly sacred. It may not be singing in the choir or helping to set up communion. It's in the daily things that we do each day, our work, whatever that looks like. The opportunity to love each other with the extraordinary love of Christ is there in every encounter, every interaction we have with family, friends, and strangers alike. So on this day, on this weekend, let us celebrate. Let us celebrate the labors of our human family. On this Labor Day weekend, let us stand with the workers who make our lives possible. I just read this week, but maybe some of you already know, that after 14 months of striking, the hotel workers at the Sheraton Airport Hotel here in Richmond have a deal that has given them a decent raise, a living wage, and stronger economic security. That was a long haul. We celebrate that. And we celebrate the foreign workers who make our prosperous society possible. Whether it's farm workers, nannies, or home caregivers, or other workers. Our economy would not be healthy without them. On this Labor Day, let us stand with those that we use to do the work that some in our society refuse to do. Let us stand with them when they become the target of unfair treatment or threats of deportation. Let us stand and celebrate all the workers and all the work that folks do in our community, from the independent storekeepers across the road who work for long hours, to the handy dart drivers who are looking for fair pay right now. And on this day, let us rest and appreciate, give thanks for the rest that we have. Let us find comfort in one another's humanity and in each other's peace. Let us share our peace if we see it lacking. Let us ask for peace if our soul supply is depleted. On this weekend, let us find renewal. Let us take the time to recharge our batteries, not just so that we can face another day. Let us take time after resting in the presence of God and in each other to renew our hope and faith in humanity. May this long weekend and every opportunity we have to rest from our labor strengthen us as we gear up and get back to the race of life. On this day, may this rest and renewal yield in us a delight in our lives and in each other. On this day, when we rest from our labor, may we honor our ancestors, all who have gone before us. May we take the time to stop and just for a little while see ourselves in that awesome arc of time. May we see that greatness in each other and finally remember to say to someone, thank you for the work you do. I know that you are doing your best to make this world a better place. On this day, I celebrate you. May it be so. Amen.